Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. I am your host, Chris, as I always am, and I've got the three amigos back again because I missed them terribly. John, Tom, Carl, good evening, sirs.
Good evening.
Evening.
Hello.
Beautiful. I'm glad you didn't say sup this week, Tom, because I'd have had to have thrown you off the air. Oh, look at me not muting myself again. Terrible hosting. Okay. I know. I keep forgetting to do that, actually. It's all this setting up business. I blame Danny. Danny out. Right. Here we are again, then, gentlemen. It seems like only a couple of days ago. Fortunately, tonight should be a little bit better, hopefully. Arsenal 2, West Brom 0. So we'll get some initial thoughts from you all. I'll start from right to left. So, John, what did you think?
Nice and comfortable. West Brom are possibly the worst football team I've seen this season. They're really bad. But, you know, we went out and we got the result and that was needed. I'm sure at some point we'll come on to all the fan stuff and empty or half-empty stadium and all that kind of thing. Nice that you changed the team and actually realised that you don't really need a holding midfielder against a team which is going to sit back and defend the whole game. I assume the Welbeck change for Giroud was more of a rest thing than anything else. Sanchez was really, really good tonight. Back to his old self, putting on a nice show. Bellerin as well, really, really impressive. Iwobi again, showing how confident he is. And that's it, really. I mean, there wasn't, for as much as we had the ball and played it around and we created chances, there wasn't a whole lot in the game to get overexcited about or talk about. And nice to see the less spotted Joel Campbell as well, right at the end.
Who'd have thought you'd say that six months
ago? I got a fantastic message. I have to read the message from my friend. Funky Dino, I think he's probably in the chat, sent me a message just as Campbell came on. Taking people on in the box and shooting, that's obviously how you don't get picked. it was nice to see him get a run out. Like even Theo like made a pass and he completed a pass and everything and ran at someone and there he is in the chat. It went a great game by any means, but we got the result we needed, and if I'm bored but we'll get 3 points in every game from now to the end of the season, I'll be slightly happier.
Hear. Got much to add to that? I know we're scraping the barrel a bit tonight because it wasn't the most exciting of affairs, but anything you want to add particularly?
No, we like John said, we got the 3 points and that was the most important thing. I feel that it was a bit wasteful in front of goal because we created so many chances and only scored two goals, which is a bit of an annoying thing, but at the end of the day, the most important was the thing was to get the 3 points, try and get the fans back on side, and hopefully the teams have achieved that.
Couldn't agree more. Tom, what was your sort of overall, anything you specifically want to bring up Paul, before we go into any depth?
No, I was just happy that it wasn't another Crystal Palace show, to be honest. I mean, I was relatively confident, and just I'll give myself a bit of credit now. I predicted 2-0 Sanchez, so some points for the radio show there. So that's good in the table. But no, it's all good in terms of the game. We went into it how I thought we would. West Brom sat back, didn't really offer anything all game other than the slight chances they had to hit the bar. But it was nice to see Sanchez come alive. It seemed that Ozil was desperate to get an assist in the game somehow. He was always trying to look for a pass instead of having a shot, other than when he literally didn't have no other choice. So, no, it's good to see us playing well, but it's still a bit hollow. You can't help but feel it's a bit hollow, but that's what happens when you don't take your chances earlier in the season.
Absolutely. My highlight of the game, the new Puma Evo Speed Boots. They're lovely. Right, so let's try and pick a few bits and bobs to a part of the game then. Carl, I'll come to you. With regards to the lineup, like John touched on there, nice to see a little bit of freshening up. Yes, the system was the same, but putting in Ramsey, sort of a more offensive type of player ahead of Coquelin against a team that you knew would sit back, it's some would say a bit too little too late, but nice to see nevertheless.
Yeah, definitely. Who would have thought Arsene Wenger being a bit tactical? I think what John said was absolutely correct. There's no point in playing the holding midfielder with a team that's just going to sit back. I mean, even when we went 1-0 up, the goalkeeper was still taking ages to take goal kicks, which I thought was absolutely bizarre. I didn't quite get that at all. But I think, again, what John said was correct. Giroud was just more of a rotation thing. I think Welbeck's played a lot of games since he's come back, and I think he did need a rest. And then you're thinking, who do you put in, Theo, or do you put in Giroud? And it's kind of the lesser of two evils. You know, even though Giroud didn't do much, I felt that he needed this sort of game. And I wanted him to break his duck today. I wanted this to be the game to sort of get him a goal, because as we all know, Giroud's a confidence player, and I think if he gets one, he gets two, and then he goes on a run. As for the rest of the lineup, I think that there's not much that we can do with it at the moment. I would have liked to have seen Ozil get a rest, because I think even Ozil's played quite a few games as well. But at the moment, just the way the team's playing, I don't think we can afford to sort of rest the likes of Ozil and also Sanchez. And probably at this stage of the season, you're probably thinking, what's the point as well?
Agreed. And Tom, just on, we'll go through a couple of the changes I want to give you. Olivier Giroud, just talk a little bit about. He didn't score tonight, but he was quite lively. As a contact lens wearer myself, I can sympathise with his early issues with eyewear. But yeah, I mean, he looked, you know, he looked sort of lively, put himself about a bit, didn't really have too many chances. I've got a feeling he might play at Sunderland, and I think that might maybe where he gets his goal. But what did you make of his performance as a forward man tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it was a performance that was clear that he was slightly rusty, that he'd been out the side for a while. I mean, you don't normally expect someone who's been out that long, sitting on watching someone else play, to come in and score instantly. Caveat to that is what he did at the start of the season while Theo Walcott was playing, but he looked a bit dejected when he was playing. I mean, touches he had, he was offside a couple of times. It was just trying to get his head back in the game, get that mindset of playing regularly again. And he played a couple of nice 1-2s, showed his abilities in his hold-up play, which was nice to see, as he always does. And he had a couple of shots where he was unlucky not to get a goal. But as you say, going into the Sunderland game, I think that you'll see Olivier Giroud in a more physical environment where he's more likely to flourish. So I'm certainly interested to see what happens against Sunderland.
Absolutely. And John, finally with you, with the other change I want to touch on is the permanent Saka change coming back in for Gabriel. Firstly, I will just sort of say it was West Brom, and you're absolutely right, they were poor and offered very little. But it did seem a little bit more, how can I say, settled at the back today. Didn't seem to be quite as panicky. Would you agree with that, with Mert Saka coming back in?
No. I mean, like, West Brom's only chances came from, what did they have? Two completely mishit shots from range by totally the wrong players. And then the two times they actually threatened were both set pieces. And they probably should have, or, you know, at least could have scored from, which is actually worrying considering that Per was brought back in. I'm not saying Per shouldn't have been brought back in, because Gabriel had been pretty, like, really bad, basically, for the last couple of games. And I don't have a problem with Per either, but I would have thought that the organisation at the back would have been better with him and Cech as well, both of them back in the team. But there was two really good chances for West Brom where they got free. The one when he hit the crossbar, and the, I can't remember the geezer's name, whoever it was who, like, looked like he was playing for us, and it was a clearance at the back stick when he laid, like, a two-yard tap-in. So I'm not sure it really changed that much. I don't think you can really assess it on that game, because West Brom just had nothing going forwards. I mean, they were literally knocking the ball up to Berahino, who was just getting knocked off, or Koscielny was beating him to the ball all the time. Then they brought on, was it Rondon? And
yes,
they didn't have the ball for the rest of that game, because they just went 4-4-2. And I mean, Pulis basically went there and went, if I can get a 0-0, great, if not, fuck it, who cares, we're on 40 points. Yeah. And it's not to take away from Arsenal, we did play very well. Well, better than we had been, but I don't think the defence was tested in any way other than the set pieces. Excuse me.
Yeah, fair enough. I won't ask you any more questions. You should just pool over them. No, I get your point. I mean, it's a difficult one to judge, like you say, because you know, they weren't great. I suppose the bigger test will be Sunday, which we'll touch on a bit later on. Tom, let's come back to you, Alexis Sanchez. Again, touched on him in the intro there, but looked a bit more, not just back to his usual self tonight, but he seemed to be back to that kind of energetic, playing on his toes, running across the lines, very sort of movement was back, if you will. Do you think that's sort of a sign that he's got, you know, the pressure's lifted off the shoulders a bit, that maybe it's just because he's actually fit now?
Yeah, it's very possible it's that. I mean, it's clearly there's more of a pressures off sort of thing in terms of the title race in terms of the whole squad. Obviously, that's not underestimating what's behind us at the moment and trying to secure the top four, which sounds so horrible to say at the moment, but that's the reality we have. But it's nice to see Sanchez flowing, and it's what I was saying on the podcast last night for our 150th, saying that when we play against teams that sit and like Palace did, you need players who are going to drive that defence and force the defence into making mistakes, and that's certainly what you saw Alexis do. And I mean, he made Chester make a mistake for his first goal and how he turned him, and that's what you need. I mean, I was talking specifically about a Jack Wilshere type who drives at players and to force mistakes out of defences and then make a decision either making a pass or taking a shot, and Sanchez was doing that tonight for us, and it's what's been really good for him all season, coming in from the right and then he was on the left. He was all over the pitch. He's got that license to roam all over the pitch. So it's nice to see him in free flow, and it was actually quite a reminiscent performance of him in his Barcelona days with the way he drove over the pitch. So it's good to see he's back in form, bit of confidence. It's still hollow, and it's just a shame he couldn't recapture that form earlier on in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I should say at this point, I've been very rude. Good evening to our lovely ladies and gents in the chat box. I see Ahmed's just popped up there. Good evening, Ahmed. I'm very disappointed in Oliver Grant, though, because he's just said he's off to watch Celebrity Juice instead of us. I mean, if that isn't a kick in the nuts, I don't know what is. But
if you dyed your hair, you did look a bit like him, actually.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Honestly, John, I've had funnier bouts of diarrhoea than that man. But anyway, we'll move on. Seeing as you piped up, I'll stick with you for the next question. Do you think that we're sort of running that we've got and that the game's ahead, do you think we're going to get similar style games to tonight? I mean, Sunderland and Norwich apart, can you even see even the Man City game? Is it going to be a bit of a dull affair, do you think? Or do you think tonight was a bit of an exception?
I don't think the Man City one will be dull. Does that fall in between their Champions League games? Something like that?
I think it's after.
Is it just after? Okay. Mm-hmm. The Sunderland one, I suppose, shouldn't be, because Sunderland need points. Norwich the same. The weird thing is this is where we get the... these should be easy games. These will be tough games because they're scrapping for points down the bottom. They're scrapping for points down the bottom because they're shit. So they should be easy games. Don't fall for that, oh, this is going to be a tough game, bollocks. It's just go and perform, play to your best, and you'll win. I think tonight was a one-off because it's a team who basically have nothing to play for. The fact it's on a Thursday as well, which is just a weird night for a game, and the fans, that whole, you know, not a lot of the fans who didn't go tonight. I think part of it is it being Thursday, but a lot of it is obviously is just fed up with this season and everything that's gone on. And that contributes to the atmosphere and the way perhaps the game's going to play out. You know, I thought that maybe you'd hear the West Brom fans more, but even they were like, "Nerf, can't be bothered."
Kind of one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, as soon as that goal goes in, they go, "Oh, okay, well, that's that done." Like, they may as well go back on the train, because I don't think they've come back from being 1-0 down in the game all season, have they? Something stupid like that. Or at least for like 10 games or some ridiculous stat I heard. But I think it was just tonight as a bit more of a one-off. Hopefully the atmosphere will be better at the Sunderland game, I would have thought. And just hopefully the rest of the season will be like that. If it gets to like the last game against Villa, I'd imagine will probably be quite flat. Maybe Riziki will get a run out then, and that might cheer the crowd up a bit or something. They could wave goodbye to him.
Like old Yeller out the back. Yeah. Poor old Thomas. Yeah, we'll touch on returning players in a minute. Something I want to ask you guys about. Carl, just sort of wrapping up a couple of bits more about the game. In the first goal, we should touch on. Nice to see Alexis just sort of pulling the trigger. I mean, he found the gap. He took it early. Nice little bit of interplay. And we started, like I've been saying, we haven't done for a while. It seemed like we came out of the traps with the intent to start well, and we were rewarded with that with the early goal.
Yeah, I thought it was, we had a shot from outside the box. You know, I'm sure Arsene Wenger will stop talking to Alexis during training because of that. But no, it was good to see, you know, just take a shot, take a punt. Sometimes you just need that sort of thing to happen. And, you know, the age-old saying is you don't play the lottery unless you buy a ticket. And, you know, he's done that. And I think it's poor goalkeeping, because I'm sure the goalkeeper should have got that. But not to take anything away from Alexis, brilliant shot. I think the build-up was really good as well, because he got the ball, turned the defender, made the run. You know, I just think all that build-up was absolutely brilliant. And this is the Alexis of old, the Alexis of last season, where he was doing loads and loads of things, you know, running everywhere. And it's good to kind of see him doing those sort of things now. Maybe a little bit too late, but I'm still happy that he's done it. I just wish that it happened earlier on during the season.
Don't we all? And Tommy got the second as well. The free kick was more by luck than judgment. I don't know. It's tough to tell, because you could see he was aiming for that corner, but it almost seemed like he mishit it because it was such a low trajectory. But nevertheless, nice to see a score and a free kick for once.
Yeah, it was poor defending, actually. Chester turned his back on it, which is rule number one as a defender. You don't do that. So
unforgivable.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure you absolutely go mad at your players if they do that. So I can see you nodding. No, it's nice to score a free kick. We're not ones to score much from set pieces, to be honest. And it's been defending them has been more of an issue more recently. We used to be quite good at it in a couple of recent years, and before that we used to be horrible. So I don't know if this is just a fluctuating cycle, but no, it's nice to score a free kick. I mean, I think it was going over the last time we scored from a direct free kick. If someone can correct me, it could have been Sanchez against Southampton last year in the Qatar One Cup, because I can't think of one that came after that personally. So
I think it was Robin van Persie in 2004. I think was the last one we scored.
Possibly. So it's nice to get that. I mean, maybe it's someone, if you're going to bring in someone in the summer, it's certainly an area, as West Ham well know, where you can get a lot of goals from. And if you can get someone who's consistently scoring at those, I mean, Christian Eriksen does it quite a lot at Spurs, annoyingly. But it'd be nice if we had someone like that in the team to do it. I mean, if Sanchez can step it up on a more consistent basis, it'd be nice. But no, it's good that he got his second goal, and I think that'll push on his confidence. And I think all these people saying about Ozil and Sanchez could possibly leave in the summer, I can't see it happening personally. If one's going to go, I think it would be Ozil out of the two of them, but I don't think I can see Sanchez going. I think he just loves playing football, and I think he knows he can get that regularly at a top club like Arsenal. So I don't have any issues and worries about him leaving whatsoever. So, but yeah, it's nice for him to score a free kick.
Yeah, you get one reference to the Middlesex Select 11. No more, Tom. That's your one for the night. It's your quota. John, just want to come to you before we go into a couple of bits of bot, because there isn't a lot more to say about the game, but I just want you to have a little say on Mohamed Elneny, because you put in our little group earlier on that you were quite impressed with him doing the simple things, you know, keeping the ball moving, knowing his position, being disciplined.
Did I?
You did, yeah. If it wasn't you, then it was someone, but somebody put it.
It wasn't me.
Okay, well, take the credit. But
I think it was Dom, but yeah, I'll take the credit if that's fine.
It might well have been Dom. But yeah, I mean, what did you make? I mean, he came in as a player that, first of all, nobody'd heard of him, and he was slagged off by certain people. I'll leave it there. And other people who sort of took the time to look at him thought, he could do something. I think if we're all honest, nobody really knew how much of an impact he could make. But nevertheless, he's come in, he seems to have settled, and he was good again tonight.
Yeah, he was good. Again, he's the sort of the 7 out of 10 midfielder, which we haven't had for a long time. I said it before, just simple passes, lots of energy, wins the ball back, doesn't do anything too flash. And I think we've needed that in the midfield. I think he now sort of... I don't know, he probably is first choice in midfield over everyone else that's available at the moment. He's sometimes wanting to do a little bit more with the ball, I feel. Like sometimes maybe he does the easy pass too often. Like sometimes I think there's a better option on that maybe he won't take, and he's a bit risk averse. But yeah, it's like he's only been at the club, what? Not even that.
Yeah.
So he's got a long way to go. So maybe we'll see a bit more going forwards from him, like into next season. But yeah, he did well again tonight. I mean, he didn't have, to be fair, you know, he didn't have a lot to do. There wasn't a lot of pressure on the ball. Most of our players tonight had quite a lot of space until we sort of got to their 18-yard box. So yeah, another solid performance. You know, I can't really. He hasn't done anything to annoy me in any games at all since he's come here. He's given the ball away a couple of times. But that's going to happen. Every player gives the ball away. It doesn't matter how good you are. And especially one who's just come from a completely different league. So, yeah, hopefully we'll see a bit more from him in sort of the forward areas next season. But for the job he was asked to do tonight, did it perfect.
There you go, Mo. You get the Welsh seal of approval. Can't ask any more than that. I think as you rightly say there, John, I think the best is probably going to come. You know, he's still early on, but you know, sometimes you take a gamble and it comes off. And the thing I do like about him is that when we didn't have Coquelin, the whole midfield seemed to just completely liquidate at times. The one thing he does do is he will always say in that sort of, as you say, keep it simple, keep it steady. When he does bomb on, he's quick to get back in when the ball is given off to someone else. So I like that about him. There's not a lot more to say about the game, in truth. I will touch on some of the play in a minute, but I just want to read out a couple of things from our man on the ground, Neil, who's of this parish. He was at the ground tonight, and he said there was no walkout. Standard early leavers, but no mass walkout for your info. He said to let me know. He said the crowd were entertained tonight. We were behind the team for sure. Much better atmosphere than the weekend. Just want to get your guys' thoughts really on, you know, without sort of it turning into a mudslinging contest, but what was your thoughts individually on the proposed walkouts, the continued unrest of things? Carl, I'll start with you. Having been to a lot of games this season, what's your views on so-called walkouts?
I don't agree with a walkout. I mean, if people want to have their banners and stuff, you're entitled to your opinion, and I personally don't have a problem with that. I genuinely don't, as long as the banner's respectful and the banner that that's what everyone refers to, it's respectful, it's not disrespectful. I just hope that if you do something like that, you do it for the right reasons. You don't do it for self-publicity, you do it, you know, because you genuinely want change. And the person in question, I feel that that person sort of does it for self-publicity rather than to try and get change out of the club, but that's a sort of different story altogether. I don't believe in walkouts. I think it's stupid. Why would you pay your money? And Arsenal's not exactly the cheapest club to go to, so why are you going to pay that much money to watch three quarters of the game and say, oh, I know, I'm going to walk out after 75 minutes? That's just ridiculous. It genuinely is. It's like going to a restaurant, paying for like the finest food ever and saying, you know what, I'm not going to eat all my food. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's so stupid. But everyone at Arsenal wants change. Most of the fans want change. You know, whether that's with the owners, whether it's with the manager, you know, we want Arsenal to play better. We want Arsenal to do better. And if you want to voice your frustration, there are ways to do it. Walking out of a ground, no, I don't agree with. But yes, by all means, vent your frustration by banners, as long as they're respectful. I know, because Arsene Wenger has done a lot for this club and people don't seem to realise it. I mean, I'm not Arsene Wenger out, but I do want change and I do feel the change has to go with the manager. I personally wouldn't walk out. I personally wouldn't hold up a banner myself, but if people want to do that, that's fine. That's how you want to sort of vent your frustration. By all means, go for it.
Agreed. Yeah. Well said as well. Well put. Tom, what's your views on the walkouts and whatnot?
I don't have an issue with like banners and stuff less as much anymore. I mean, I've spoken a lot to the people who've organised them and they've put their opinions across on it and whatever. And to be honest, the big one that was done, I think that the words on it were done respectfully. It wasn't something that was insulting the manager. It wasn't disrespectful. So I think that anyone slagging off the banner and saying that you're being abusive to the manager is incorrect. I think when it comes at it, it can have a negative effect on the players, which is where my issue lies with it. In terms of protest and walkout, I don't really see the point in them. I mean, I completely agree with people have their right to protest, and people have made the point to me that there's a banner up in the stadium saying "In Wenger we trust," and then if that's up, then people should have the right to say the opposite. But at the same time, I really don't see the point of walkouts, because the point of a walkout is to show that you're, first of all, you're annoyed at the club, what's going on. Second of all, there's a motive to hit a pocket in terms of people not turning up if they're going to boycott a match. And that doesn't matter to the owner. The owner couldn't give two shits if you don't come to the match, if you don't buy a ticket. He's got millions and millions of pounds, and your 30 quid ain't worth shit to him. So he's not going to leave the club if you don't turn up to a match. I think people walking out at the end of the day is more of a negative thing. I think it doesn't help the team if we're drawing or losing, and you're walking out after 75 minutes annoyed and not supporting your team. Then you're not helping the club. I think if you go to the game, then you actually have a bit of a, what's the right word, but a right, if you're going to help me out with this word, if you have a something to support the team. What's the word?
A right is a good word, yeah.
Like, you have a right to support the team, but I think, like, you should do it. It's part of going to the game. Like,
an obligation?
Yes, like, you're obligated to support the team and shout, in my opinion. I think that should be something you should do if you go to a football match. I think that as fans, you should get behind your team and not just sit there and watch, in my opinion. That's how I see it. So, but I can see John looking so disgusted with what I've said, it's as if I've punched him in the face.
No, it's bad eyesight, mate. I'm trying to read the chat.
He's so disgusted at what I was saying. I was like,
I'm like that, trying to read
he's having a Giroud moment. Yeah. Well, what's your thoughts, John? What's your views on walkouts and stuff?
I couldn't give a monkeys.
I knew you were going to say that.
What the fuck do I care? I don't care. If you want to walk out, walk out. It's some people don't like it. Like Neil said, like, there was hardly anyone walk out tonight. I think if people did walk out, you probably wouldn't fucking notice, because after stadium was empty anyway. So it doesn't bother me. If people want to do that, that's fine. I think I get what Carl's saying about you've already spent your money. I think it's like when the Liverpool fans did it, and they obviously, that was noticeable when they all walked out on the 70 whatever it was minute. They did it for the ticket prices. So it was for a different thing, and I actually supported that, and I understand why they did it, and it was to make a point. And I think just not turning up wouldn't make a difference, because the tickets are sold and everything else. If you actually see a big section of the stadium just empty early, then it really does get your point across. And if that's the way you want to protest, then fine. If people don't like the way that you protest, that's fine as well. Have an opinion. I don't care. I don't know why people get upset about it, to be honest. It's like the thing with the banners. If you've got a banner, put a banner up. I couldn't give a fuck. In what way does it affect me? You know, like the whole fans are laughing at Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. They've been laughing at us for years, and they still will. They'll laugh whether we put banners up or we walk out, or we moan that we're not, you know, winning the league every year or whatever. I couldn't give a shit. I'll support the club however I want to. If people don't like it, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, agreed. No, I give everybody a chance to have their views. And
I mean, like, it's cool. It's nice that it's nice that it's something that can unite some of our fans together.
Yeah, even if it's for a negative, yeah, I agree.
You know, that's fine, you know, and I think that is true what they said about the banners, though, that, you know, they aren't disrespectful. They are all quite respectful. They're all saying, you know, it's just their opinion. They think the manager should leave, and that needs to be replacing. And I don't think, you know, I didn't see any banners going, oh, he's an old French, you know, whatever, and he's passed it. You know, they're just saying, you know, we want change. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So.
So I wish you'd change the pants more often. The smell from here is ridiculous.
Disgusting.
Sorry. I think Guardian Dundee made a good point, actually, as well. There was issues with the tube tonight, so I think you did see a lot of people heading for the exits with about five to go, because it was like a mad rush for the tube. So
you leave my tubes alone.
You leave the tubes alone!
Yeah, so Carl weren't working tonight, so...
That sounds like a bumper sticking, that does.
Big not fame early at Arnos Grove.
Was it your fault, Carl? Be honest.
No, it wasn't, actually.
Calling him out on the show.
Carl didn't support the walkout, so he was making sure the tubes were...
Yeah, bold. Making sure exactly. I think the... I think the argument with the walkouts. So I'm with you, Carl, on this one.
Can I just interrupt very quickly? Sorry.
Go on, mate.
There's no such player as Emrakul. There's a guy in the chat called Joseph Geraghty. Don't believe him. Sorry, some dickhead mate of mine.
Oh, okay.
Just in case anyone in the chat went, who is this Emrakul geezer? But you can look him up if you want, you'll get confused.
That's two friends you've got now, John. I don't believe it. No, I think with regards to, I think you said it, and I think a couple of people have said it in the chat, the easiest way to make your feelings clear if you are really unhappy with something is just don't go. It's as simple as that, and just because you don't go doesn't mean you're any less of a fan. If you've paid thousands of pounds for season tickets for a long period of time, if you feel that you can't enjoy the football and you have your views on the manager or the way the club is run, just don't give your money. It's as simple as that. And the coverage we get nowadays, let's be honest, we can see every single game, whether it be on the internet or TV nowadays. So it doesn't make you any less of a fan if you choose not to give the club your money, and that's your right. Equally, if you feel the need to pay them hundreds of thousands of pounds and then leave, that's equally your right. But I don't really see the point you're trying to make it. But as Jan has just said in the chat, Janu, yes, I'm well aware. You're absolutely right. Fans can do what they want. That's kind of what I just said. But let's move on to another topic. Just want to get your thoughts as well on something I noticed tonight. The thing that we get frustrated about, particularly in attack, Tom, I'll start with you on this one, is the sort of pretty patterns we weave without anyone actually pulling the trigger. There's a few people that are more at fault than others. Alexis does it a lot. Ramsey does it a lot. Can't really include Walcott in this discussion, really, because he's not on the pitch enough at the moment. But, and that's not a dig, just genuine. The sort of tippy-tappiness, you could see the manager in particular getting quite wound up in the second half, that we just wouldn't put our foot through it. And that made me wonder if some of these players go onto the pitch and almost feel like they can create the beautiful goal. I'm not 100% sure they're coached to do that. Do you think there's a bit of miscommunication coming in that, yes, the build-up is lovely, but at some point somebody should have got to hit it?
Yeah, I think it is funny, isn't it, how ABW is based upon an underlying joke of should we shoot more, and now we're actually...
So true, isn't it? Yeah.
I know, and now we're actually talking about it, like, yes, we should. And I think there was a stat came up that Arsenal scored 2 goals from outside the box before today, and now we've got 4, obviously, because both goals were scored from outside the box. But it's sometimes it's frustrating, but I do understand the method of passing it into the box, because I remember listening to Ask Blog's podcast with the guy talking about stats, and he goes through all the methods and stuff, and it is a simple fact that you are more likely to score if you're closer to the goal, and we're playing through that. If a player shoots from outside the box, which we did a lot today, I mean, El Nedi had a couple of shots from outside, Ramsey did as well, and they went well over and well wide, so... And Giroud was shooting from close range and getting them on target, and it was saved and whatever. But I think, to be honest, the problem with Arsenal isn't necessarily not shooting enough. It's the type of chances that we create. I think we should be creating chances depending on the, who we're playing up top. I mean, when you saw against Everton, the perfect chance, Welbeck, is the one that we created for his goal, laying him through in behind the defence and allowing him to run onto score. Giroud's perfect type of chances in the air so he can compete in the air for a header, or so he can hold the ball up and turn on a sixpence and smash the ball in the net. They're the type of chance you need to create depending on what type of striker you're using. So I think that doing all this tippy-tapper stuff and then leading to a chance where eventually you just get boxed in and you can't move, and all you've got to do is pass around the box or out of the box. So it's down to me, it's all about the type of chance you create, not necessarily that you need to continuously shoot all the time, because the further away you are, the less likely you are to score. So I'm full behind trying to get as near to the goal as possible to create a much easier chance for us to score.
Mm, great. I always think it's kind of ironic, because I've had a lot of fans say this season at different times, and to a degree I agree with them at some times, where they say that for years, at least we were beautiful to watch, and there's been times this season where we haven't been, and it's kind of ironic that the one thing that made us beautiful was the fast breaks and the interchanging, and you think of the goals against Sunderland and Norwich last season and the season before. And yet then when we actually start doing it, everyone moans and says we should shoot more, so you just can't win at times. But it is a tough one.
Well, I understand the frustration. I sit there going, just bloody shoot, like, yeah, screaming at the screen. But sometimes you do understand, like, there are chances where I think, you should have shot then and not passed it. But it's just the way they're coached, and I'm sure a lot of people won't agree with this statement, but Arsene Wenger knows a lot more about football than a lot of us, and knows how to teach the players how to and what to do. So I think he's much more well-placed to comment on tactics than I am.
Mm. And I can vouch from, although at a very low level, sometimes players just go do things on their own back when they're on the pitch at times. You can coach somebody as much as you like. Occasionally somebody just decides to have a pop from 45 yards for no apparent reason. John, with regards to the sort of attacking play and whatnot, I don't want to open the big box marked transfers because we'd be here all bloody night if we do. But do you think there's an element of maybe we need to change, like Tom was touching on there, sometimes we need to actually change the way we approach attacking, you know, mix it up a bit? Because it does a lot of it does go centrally. I know it's a gripe we've had before, but do you think we're a side that can actually play wide with the playing staff we've got on board at the moment?
We could, but we won't, because we only play football one way. I know we said we don't. The only thing we have that we know we'll definitely do is try and play as much through the middle. There's still some. I'm still confused half the time. Not so much tonight, but what our style exactly is when we're not. You know, when things aren't quite working out, or our passing isn't quite there, or the movement's not quite there, then the team doesn't seem to know what to do or what else to do. And we just do the same thing over and over again. And against a team that can defend better, like West Brom were fairly poor tonight, although our movement was very good and our interplay was all nice and everything, we really struggle. So we need to learn how to do something else. The fact that you've got Giroud, you know, who is a big bloke who, to be fair, actually hasn't scored that many headers, despite his size. It'd be nice to see some balls flung into the box and him winning a knockdown and things like that and scoring a header and stuff. Because, you know, he can do it. It's just not the typical sort of goal he does score. So you've got the ability to mix it up. I just don't think we will, and it's not the football Arsene Wenger wants to play. He never has wanted to play that football. I understand that what Tom's saying about the tiki-taka football and stuff, that's great. But There's another side. If you just like actually take a shot, then you're more likely to score a goal. I don't care how far out you are, you just shoot. It'd be really fucking nice. Like Mesut Ozil is probably one of the worst players in our team. Like, so guilty for it. And tonight he actually had a couple of shots. Granted, they're all blocked or he took them too late, which is really fucking annoying. But you know, there's so many times when it's like the defenders just back off him because they just know he's going to pass. It's like, there's no, you know, you don't need to go near him. You could honestly let him run straight at the goal. He could be one-on-one with a goalkeeper. I swear he'd still want to square the ball. And that, and I'm sorry, this whole it's the players, that's bollocks. That's the way they're coached. They're taught that. They are taught to pass and pass and pass. If there is a man open who has got less defenders around him or a bit more space, they will pass it to him rather than having a shot. That's why you don't see, like, the young players, they'll get pulled in and out of the team more often because they're more likely to have a shot. It's probably why you don't like Joel Campbell, because he'll shoot. What's the first thing Joel Campbell did? Came on, took a player on, rushed him in back, like he's backpedaling, and he takes a shot on. He could have passed, but he had a shot. It's cool. It's good. Do it. We might have scored more goals because we wasted loads of chances tonight.
Mm. Yeah, oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, no, I agree.
But, yeah, sorry, to actually answer your question properly, yeah, we've got the players to do it, but we won't do it.
Mm. We won't. No, that's okay. That's fair enough. Yeah, I personally sit in the camp that, it's just me personally, this is not the views of everybody, I personally think that it's a myth that players are encouraged not to shoot. And you know, it is amusing because you look at games sometimes and you almost think it's that way. I just think that sometimes you know, it's in, as you said earlier, it's in the manager's kind of genetic makeup. He likes to play the you know, the pretty football, and it's almost
his, wrong. When it works, it looks fucking brilliant. It looks amazing, and it's beautiful to watch and everything else. But the best teams that Wenger's ever had, the title winning sides, as much as they could play the intricate football and everything else, really it was 2-3 passes and then we'd score a goal from like defence to attack. It wasn't ping, 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 ping. As soon as he brought that in, when we like started with Fabregas and then sort of tried to carry it on since, it hasn't worked. And quite simply, unless your players are of a certain level and your front three are good enough at finishing, like Barca, who just don't, you know, generally don't waste chances. And, you know, every team misses, but, you know, they're a lot more deadly with their finishing. Then you're going to get frustration and you're not going to score the goals that you should.
Yeah, and of course the one thing that passing does do, and Tom can back me up on this with Barcelona, is it moves players out of position.
Yeah,
and I think that's
you saw that tonight. Like Iwobi was great tonight. Some of his little shimmies in and out. Someone in the chat said that he reminds me a little bit of Hleb. And I understand what they move with the way he moves his feet and the sort of like he sort of bounces it in between his 2 feet and juggles it about. He's really good at that and his little interplays. It's great, but. Just sometimes, just pull the trigger. Like, even a fault. Like, it was nice Bellerin when he just took that shot on tonight. He probably should have gone for a cross for Giroud there. But he just went, no, it's open up. I'm going to fucking have it. That's nice to see for once.
Yeah, it is.
He'll get moaned at. But you know he's going to... he won't get moaned at. He'll get ignored for a day. But
I don't know that, but we can speculate.
He'll be shown that on the video, and Arsene won't say anything. He'll just point at Giroud, and then that'll be it. He won't speak to him for a couple of hours.
Allegedly.
Bad Hector.
One of our illustrious leaders is with us, even Mr. Danny.
Danny's got out of bed.
Yes, well, no, I don't think he's got out of bed. He's still in bed.
He's having breakfast.
Ah, well, he could still be having it in bed, to be fair. But absolutely. Red Shrek wants me to say his name, so there you go, Red Shrek, name check done.
Oh, the ladies love Tom, apparently, in Seattle.
Do they?
The ladies love me everywhere.
Hmm. I'll tell you, misses that.
They've all got dogs and sticks. I've been there many times. Only joking, Tom, really. Carl, I just want to give you a topic of your own as well, because the other two have had a topic, so I'm going to give you one. With regards to the returning players, we saw Jack Wilshere complete with beard in the front row tonight, doing his best to behave himself, bless him. And he's obviously close to return. Certainly Cazorla also down on the bench, suited and booted, but apparently he's close to return as well. We mentioned Tomasz Rosicki. I know there's only four games to go, but it'd be nice to see those three back in and around the squad and maybe even making a start here and there, particularly for me personally, Santi. But what do you make of those three returning? Could they have quite a big say in us maybe finishing third?
I've got no doubt that Jack will get a run out against Sunderland. Santi, maybe Norwich. I'm not sure if how many under 21 games we've got left. I don't know if the season's finished. I can't remember. But you're thinking maybe Santi might get a little run out against Norwich. And also Thomas as well, because Thomas has come through two under 21 games as well as.
Yeah, I have. I played very well.
But Jack will definitely come back, and I'm looking forward to Jack coming back. And I think the Sunderland game is kind of an ideal game for him to come back to, because he's gonna get a few tackles thrown at him because it's a Sam Allardyce team. So you know what they're like. That ankle is gonna get tested against Sunderland. Thomas Rosicki. I'm kind of hoping that he does get a game before, he leaves Arsenal. Just for sentiment, I do want him to sort of come out, put on the Arsenal shirt one more time and sort of play for Arsenal again. We've missed Santi Cazorla. We've missed him really, really badly. But he's not going to go away with Spain to the Euros, I don't think. So I would kind of be reluctant to rush him back. I would kind of give him the whole summer off, just to make sure he's 100%, because hopefully next season he will sort of push us on. I mean, if he does come back and gets a few games, I'm happy about that, but I wouldn't rush him back.
I'm with you on that one. I think for Tomasz Rosicki, I think that Villa game, final game of the season, is made for him to do a little lap of honour and something. I think that's almost set up perfectly against the opposition of Villa's level at the moment. But I think I'm with you on Santi. I think wrap him in cotton wool, maybe give him 10, 15 minutes of the last three games at the end just to sort of get him integrated again. And then, as you said, get him properly sort of ready over the summer for the new season. And as for Jack, I think you're right. I think we'll probably see him against Sunderland from the bench, I would suggest, because I don't see why you change the team that is settled now, particularly those two holding two. But I think Jack will get some time, so be good to see him back. What was your guys' thoughts on the I don't want to dwell on this for too long because it would mean talking about that lot in Middlesex. But the team of the year was announced, or team of the season was announced tonight. Nomez at Ozil, Hector Bellerin though getting in. Blah, blah, blah. John, I'll start with you. Do you think that was as a result of? And I know you're going to say I don't care, but do you think it was as a result of no other right backs basically having any sort of a season? Because I love Hector to bits, but I don't think it's been a particularly wonderful season for him, is it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of right backs, to be honest.
It's the lad at Palace has been pretty good, hasn't he?
Well, not really. Look how many goals they've let in.
Yeah, but I always get taken away start of the season. Started the season well.
I mean, not to big them up as they are above.
Don't
us.
Say Carl Walker, or else I'll cut you off.
If they had who had played through the whole season, then maybe. Danny Simpson, yeah, someone's put in the chat. Danny Simpson has had a very good season, to be fair, at Leicester. Zach Rostar just put it in there. So he's probably a decent shout. I actually think Ozil probably didn't deserve to be in it because I think first half of the season he was good, but I think he's tailed off, to be honest. Not bad, but by his standards he should be playing better and he should be doing it all season long, not for spells of it. So, yeah.
Hard to disagree with that, actually. But then you could also say, I suppose, to play devil's advocate, you could also say the same about Mahrez, who had a particularly good first half of the season and has been a bit in and out second half of the season. But
was he a couple of assists off Ozil? What, 5 assists off and more goals?
Yeah, I just think sort of towards this second half of the season, he's been a bit more.
He hasn't been as important, but then you've got to look at what he contributes going backwards as well, defending, which he does, and just, you know, how important he's been for that team. Don't get me wrong, Ozil's been very important for us. No, I mean, I can't really disagree too much with it. I think all of our players that have performed, unfortunately, they've all done it in patches throughout the year. You know,
they're in less of a problem.
Monreal's been good in sections. I think he's tailed off a little bit. Koscielny's been good at times this year. Cech, again, he's had a couple of one or two iffy games, but other than that, he's been good. Ospina's done really well, but then if you go back to the start of the season, there was the one where he threw it in his own net. I think Bellerin may be a little bit lucky to get in. But.
So always time for Sonogo. Keep going, yeah. You'll get there. Tom, what do you make of where we are table-wise now? Because Manchester City Newcastle really did us a bit of a favour the other night, getting a point off Manchester City, which puts us back into third, 2 points above City. City have got a very winnable game at home to Stoke, who they're not only on the beach, I think they're in a different stratosphere at the moment. They certainly were on Monday night. They might as well not bother turning up. But you would expect them to beat Stoke at home. We, however, have that trip to Sunderland. Do you think by the end of this weekend it'll be back to level points again? Because I could sort of see us drawing at Sunderland and City romping Stoke.
Yeah, it would certainly be within our capabilities of drawing at Sunderland. But I'm quite confident going into the game. I mean, Sunderland was it Swansea they beat away from home? Was it 3-0?
Norwich, sorry. Last week.
Yes, and then Newcastle beat Swansea, yeah. And, like, I wasn't necessarily massively impressed by Sunderland their game. Norwich had loads of chances and spurned them. So, which is something that we do as well, I guess. But I think that with the quality we have, I think we can easily go there and get 3 points. Stoke and Man City. Stoke have got a terrible record against Man City home and away. So yeah, I'm expecting City to win that. But in terms of table, I've said we need to be looking behind this. I mean, who have Man United got at the weekend?
They got Leicester next, haven't they? No, Leicester got Swansea. Who's United got this
and
weekend?
United have got on Sunday. They're not playing Sunday. They're not playing at the weekend, which is odd.
No, they got the FA Cup semi-final, haven't they?
FA Cup.
So that's why they're not playing.
I'll get the run-ins up for you. Carry on.
So Man United sitting on 59 points. We're on 63 now. We could go 7 points clear, which would put more pressure on them in fifth to perform to get their game in hand back. I'm quite confident that we will happily be in the top four. It's just I would like to be third over fourth because that little stupid qualifying game isn't just a little bit of a unnecessary annoyance when it comes to the summer, and it means that you're playing football competitively much earlier than everyone else, which isn't great. But Yeah.
Especially when there's a Euros as well, because the preseason's going to be a lot shorter, isn't it? So it's crucial, I think, that we do try and aim for third. Absolutely, 100% with you on that one. Man United, Leicester is up next, but it's a week Sunday, May the 1st. May the 1st be with you. No, that's fourth. But yeah, so Leicester at home, right. And then Norwich away, West Ham away.
Sorry.
I don't care. I'll mock myself for people's entertainment. Carl, with regards to the... Tom sort of said we should be looking downwards, so to speak. If we were to look upwards, what do you make of sort of Man City's running? I mean, they've got Southampton away sandwiching that Real Madrid game. And then obviously the massive showdown for the fourth place or third place trophy is at the Oily Had between us and City on the 8th of May. Do you think that game's going to go a long way to seeing who finishes where?
Yeah, I genuinely think whoever wins that game at Man City will finish third. That's sort of my personal opinion. I'm hoping that Man City will take the eye off the ball and sort of throw their eggs into the Champions League basket. I know Pellegrini, he's kind of got to think, you know, he wants to go out on a bang in his last season, and surely he's got to be thinking, I'm going to prioritise sort of the Champions League, and I'm hoping that he does that and sort of takes his, and the whole team actually sort of take the eye off the ball for the Premier League, and you know, we do sneak in there and get third. I really am, because that's the sort of, at the moment, that's the best we can hope for.
Yeah, I agree. And just out of interest, do any of you, and just say yes or no, do any of you see us catching that lot up the road now?
No.
I'd see it be very, very difficult to...
No, not at all.
Okay. And I presume... well, I think the only game I can see them dropping points is Chelsea away, mainly because Chelsea hates Spurs as much as we do. So I can see them raising their game for Chelsea but and then lying down for Leicester.
Even Chelsea just, honestly, the way they performed against Manchester City was absolutely dire. So the way Spurs are in their form they are, I think they'll walk them, if I'm honest.
The one thing is, it's a Monday night game. It's Monday week. For Chelsea Spurs on. As I say, that's the only game I can see. And I think as far as the title goes, I think I'm right in saying Leicester only have to win two more games if Spurs drop any points, I think I'm right in saying. So come on,
Swansea,
you
Everton, basically.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So come on, you Foxes, and go on to Chelsea. I've always loved you. Moving on quickly from that horrible thought. I think really what we're going to do now for the last 20 minutes or so of the show is just take some questions, really, because there's not a lot else to say about tonight. It did have that sort of end-of-season feel a little bit. Ooh. So
actually, there was one thing someone brought up in the chat earlier, which is sort of...
Yeah, cool.
It was a question. It was, did you think NYB dived?
Do you know what? I didn't even see it. I've got to be honest with you.
El Neni definitely dived, yeah.
Yeah, he felt the contact outside the box and fell into it, definitely. But no, I didn't see the Iwobi one.
No,
I like him,
I didn't
though.
I thought the Iwobi one was just contact, and I think he was looking for it, but I don't think it was a dive in that sense. But El Neni's was definitely, that was a blatant.
Agreed. Right, John and Carl, I'm just going to swing it over to you then, just take a few questions, and we'll see it out till the hour. So what have we got?
Go for it, Carl, if you want to fire away, mate.
All right, first question to Tom.
Why are you so good?
Do we need a striker? And if so, who?
Yeah, mate, we do. That was really midway, right? Yeah, mate. We need a striker, bruv. I'll be very, very keen on bringing in someone to improve on what we've got up front, simply because we don't score enough goals, and we create the chances that aren't being taken, and it's quite a simple equation to put that a striker that scores more goals will score more goals if he's in your team. So it's the question of who. I could go on for hours about who I'd like to come in. Realistically, I think I asked all you guys in our hipsters group for five people that you thought we could sign, and John, I think you came up with the best suggestion in terms of striking options with Icardi and Higuain. I mean, Higuain obviously is a lot less likely to join. It would command a huge fee, and there's still no guarantee that you perform in the Premiership. With Icardi, I'm much more inclined to agree with. I mean, I've heard a lot of good things from you guys, and Chris, you spoke about his movement in the box being excellent, which is something we desperately need from a striker at the moment, is to feed onto passes and to get into the right places. So he's certainly someone I'm interested in seeing if he was to come. In terms of my knowledge from La Liga, I'd suggest Bakambu, because he's in excellent form and he's at the right age to move on and join a bigger club, and he's been on fire this season for them. So I'd suggest him. But yeah, Lacazette, AFC 1886 has suggested, I think he's good, but I think we could do better. Sorry, Chris.
Oh, that's all right, mate. It's fair. It's fair. You can have your view and I'll have mine. It's all good. Let's have another question then. John, have you got one for us?
Yeah, I'm paying attention. Sorry.
You're looking at that amusing picture I put in the group, aren't you?
No, I'm not actually. I'll look at that.
Oh, do have a look at our radio group. It's quite amusing.
Here we go. Here, one for you, Chris. From Danny, the GFP. Whoever the fuck that
is. Who's that?
Yeah. Now the season is over, how annoying is it that we will finish with all wins? I even said that like Gunner blog then, sorry.
You did, yeah. That's very very presumptuous of you, Danny. I'm not actually convinced. I'm usually ever the optimist. I'm not actually convinced we'll finish the season with all wins, if I'm honest. I can see us... I think I would expect two home wins now from Norwich and Villa. I think that's the least we should expect. Sunderland away, I just have a feeling that Mr. Allardyce he does like playing us. He does like winding us up, and I've got a feeling that they might get something from that game. And then of course the City away, which I think if you said right now City's form right now, would we all take a draw? I think we probably would. So. Yeah, I take Danny's point, though. You know, it is frustrating. But at the same time, when the pressure is off, you do kind of relax into your normal game. And also, it's not just Arsenal, it's the teams we're playing. When you look at a team like West Brom tonight, you know, yes, OK, they're well-drilled and all that jazz. But as soon as they went a goal down, I never really sat here thinking, Christ, they're going to get back into it. They just never really convinced. So, yeah, I suppose it is frustrating, Danny. But... it's so typically Arsenal with nothing to play for this end of the season, sadly.
Cool. I've got no idea who's hosting now, by the way. You've just sort of left it up in the air.
Oh, just you and Carl, whoever. I mean, you can take them in turns. If you want, Carl can do one now, and then you can do one, and yeah.
I mean, you could do your job and host, but, you know, really, you can do it if you like.
I could, but apparently I'm a CUNT, according
all
to...
All I'm going to say is, when I hosted, we got record views.
Oh, God.
I got it. I'll do another one.
Get that by a new contract.
Everything reread everything. Prince or Michael Jackson? And favourite Prince song? Okay, so Prince or Michael Jackson? I'll ask all of you. Carl?
Which one? Michael Jackson.
Favourite Prince song? Do you have one?
My favourite Prince song will probably be Get On.
Good choice. Chris, do you like either of them?
Love Michael Jackson, can't stand Prince, but it is sad news.
I'll say quickly moving on. Chris is an idiot. Tom?
No, no, he's a legend.
Who are they? No. Michael Jackson all day long. I listened to him all through my youth. So.
Okay. Do you have a favourite Prince song?
No, because I don't know any.
Sorry.
I know who he is. I couldn't name you a song. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I'd probably go with Michael Jackson. Just yeah. But favorite Prince song, Computer Blue, classic.
I think we should all do the Thriller dance on camera.
I very much don't.
I think we should make Chris dress up like Prince. He's about as tall as him.
The hair makes him a bit bigger.
Keith Lemon, Prince. I don't know what's next.
Wait, Prince, right. If someone called me and said I look like Prince, I'd be well chuffed. next question? Okay.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'll get in all sorts of trouble. Right, I'll do that.
Is keeping Ozil and Sanchez our first priority over incoming players in the summer? Carl?
No. Because if we do get any money for Ozil and or Sanchez, we just need to replace them. So... I think buying new players will ultimately keep them at the club anyway. Or sorry, buying the right players will keep them at the club anyway. So I think if we buy the right players, then I don't think we'd have any issue sort of keeping them.
Yeah, good shout. Chris, if it makes you feel better, so far tonight I've been compared to Mike Knox, who I had to look up because I didn't know he was a wrestler, and I've just been called a slightly paler Arda Turan, so...
Chris, for making it feel better, the record views Michael Donahue suggested it was because all the viewers were women, so, you know...
I think Leonardo DiCaprio's safe, Tom. I've got to be honest. I don't think he's too worried about people finding you hotter than you did a sterling job. You did a sterling job. Let's find another question, shall we? Janu asked me a question, actually. He asked me what my favourite Wenger memory was. I can't help but think he's fishing there, but I'll answer the question nevertheless. Well, it's got to be the Invincibles, clearly. But I think... also, the fact that he essentially took us, a fact that a lot of people, whether you are pro or anti, do tend to forget, he kind of took us out of a period of time where we were a mess. You know, as much as I love George Graham for a period of time, and he did a lot for the club, obviously, and you know, those days were great, the defensive football, but, you know, whether you like or you dislike Arsene Wenger, he certainly did take us to a whole new level. And obviously, you know, the well-documented diet changes and whatnot as well. So he essentially did rebuild a lot of the club. As I say, whether you like or you don't like, that's just a fact. So many memories. And I really do hope that when the time does come, that he does decide to move on. I hope he's given the respect he deserves. Let's have another question. Carl, have you got one there, mate?
Let's go for everything, Root, everything. Who from the Arsenal deserves to make the England squad, or who do you think would make it?
It's a short list, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not many English players. Go for it, Tom.
Oh, thanks.
it's easy. There's only one player.
Yeah, I mean, Gibbs ain't going to get into it, is he?
No, Gibbs ain't getting in. Oxlade-Chamberlain, I think, would be more likely than Theo if he can get fit. But
Welbeck's the only one for me.
Welbeck. But if Wilshere does come back, then Hodgson loves
him. He shouldn't.
He shouldn't, but Hodgson loves Wilshere. Yeah. So, and the things he did during the qualifiers. I mean, the game against Slovenia, he was incredible in that game.
I'd be amazing against Slovenia. Who the fuck are they? Oh, come on.
I'm sorry, but we're England.
Jack Wilshere's a great footballer, but yeah.
No, yeah, but we're saying this. Nathan Sanchez was amazing against West Bromwich Albion. So it's swings and roundabouts, but yeah, I think Wilshere's got more of a chance if he comes back in the last few games of the season and plays extremely well, because Hodgson loves the guy, so, yeah.
Is Almunia still qualified for England?
Would any of you take Walcott?
Arteta should do by now, shouldn't he?
I'd take
Walcott out the back and shoot. No, I can't say that. I think Walcott's probably the one at most at risk of not going. I don't think Gibbs has been in the picture for months, and Welbeck is Hodgson. Like, I think Welbeck and Wilshere will both go, particularly in light of Jordan Henderson's injury. I think Wilshere is now a shoe-in, because as good as Danny Drinkwater has been, I think Hodgson has his favourites, and Jack is one of those. So if Jack can prove his fitness, which again we don't know yet, but if he can, I think he's a shoe-in, and I think Welbeck will get the nod over. I can't see him taking Rashford, really. And he's already said he won't take Carroll, so I think Welbeck is that fourth or fifth striker. So that's probably the only two.
Play on the wing as well, so...
Yeah, he's multifunctional, isn't he? So, yeah, that's the logic, I would say. That is, of course, assuming there's no other injuries between now and the end of the season for either ours or any other players. So.
Oh, I really hope Kane doesn't get injured. That would be horrible.
Oh, wouldn't it? He might fall over his jaw. Anyway... Fucking mong. Here's a good one. Mark LeBrunner, if you could only have one of Royce, Hummels, or Aubameyang. Christ, there's a short list. Okay. So Tom's going there. John, would you?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, Carl, same.
Full house.
Same. Perfect. Out of interest, I'll ask you all a question just off my own back. How many of you think a centre-back is more important than a striker this summer?
No.
No. John?
No.
Carl?
Equal, but yeah.
Centre back's definitely second priority.
Yeah. That's, we've needed a striker since the Dutch bloke left. I can't remember his name. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of that, you look. We've scored less goals at home. Actually, not anymore. Oh, no, we have, because we only scored two tonight, so we still scored less goals than Newcastle. Look, that maths worked out of my head.
Quickfire maths, yeah.
Yeah, because they scored three. They see, nice.
Could there not be? Could there not be an argument that if we kept quite a few more goals out of the net, we would actually win a few more games closer by, you know, the local score? I'm just being a devil's advocate.
I'd rather have had a goal against Palace the other day and a goal against Norwich and a goal against West Brom and three goals against Chelsea would have been nice, but I think I'd rather have a striker who can score at the moment. I have faith in Permet, Azak and Koscielny. I do have faith in those two guys. I know they have their issues, but I think that there's strikers you could get that is more of a step up on Giroud than there is centre backs that would be a step up on what we've got already.
Yeah, it's definitely a good debate, isn't it? Because obviously a lot of people are all for the centre forward, and a lot of people are also now coming around to the idea that we could probably do with beefing up the defence. I don't know about you guys, but the one thing that worries me about our defence is the age. All of a sudden it seems to be creeping up a bit, doesn't it?
Barcelona.
But Callum Chambers seems to be the forgotten man. Like, what's happened
to him?
He does.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Surely
he's not good enough.
He's hanging out with General Campbell too much.
I could see us going.
Oh, no, for... FC 1886, Mustafi said Mustafi. Oh, no, if you see what he's done this season, you would regret that.
Per looks like a retired giraffe rapist.
Jesus.
Oh,
John,
fantastic.
I know you and I quite fancy a Greek lad from Serie A, don't we?
I don't fancy Greek men at all. They're very hairy. But there's a footballer who's quite good called Manolas.
Yes.
At Roma. Which is shocking considering the amount of goals he would have put in, but he's decent, and there's lots of clubs.
They did have Szczesny in goal.
True.
Yeah, that's true. Well, he's done all right there this season. He's a good player. I think we looked at him before when he was on his way to Roma.
Olympiacos?
Yeah.
Chelsea are in for him as well, I think.
Chelsea are in for everyone.
apparently, it doesn't surprise me, as obviously Conte watches a lot of Italian football. Oh, sorry, there's a Roma fan in the chat. Yeah, so sorry, we want your Manolas. He would be one of the ones I think would be gettable.
Particularly given the fact that he said that apparently he'd agreed terms with us but wanted to play in Italy.
He wanted to play football. He wanted guaranteed football, and he wasn't guaranteed at Arsenal.
Well, Carl, what about Jonathan Tah?
He's the hope. Like I seriously, I would throw.
He keeps you going
million.
when you're looking after the tube.
He does. No, I would throw 20 million, 25 million to get him. I really would, because I think he's ready made, and he's only going to improve. What is he? 19, 20, something like that.
He's only
going to get better. So I seriously would go all guns blazing for Jonathan Tah. I really would.
Hipster's choice.
Oh, Enrico has just said we can have Rudiger and Fent instead.
No, you
can keep him, Enrico.
that's fine. You can keep him. I do think Enrico missed. I know a couple of people said about Jason Murillo, John, who we both liked. He's come on. I think Miranda, we did. Enrico's just put there, we did miss the boat on him. I think he would have
really
been.
That would have been nice just for a season or two. Yeah, absolutely.
For Milan, everything rude, everything's put. Yeah, I think that ship has sailed, my friend. You know what we could do? Here's an idea. Let's spend £50 million on a lad who's not even good enough for Barnsley, let alone Everton, let alone Chelsea. Maybe that's the way forward, John Stones. Do me a favour.
I thought you were talking about David Luiz for a second.
Oh, no. Not that suicidal, Tom. Jesus.
Someone just asked. In regards to Regani, it would be nice, but he's not leaving Juve.
Camille Glick from Torino.
Yeah.
Underrated, but...
I don't think
he's not a name, is he? He's not a name. a name.
We have more questions, so we went off on a bit of a tangent then.
Jan Zeb wanted to ask about Alexander Milik as a striker, by the way. I'll just quickly address that. Jan Zeb, not. Yeah, I like him, but he's not Arsenal level.
No, I like him, though.
Newcastle.
Rumpelstiltskin, Simeone for £50 million.
No. Yeah.
Enrico, yeah, I would take Koulibaly. He's been very impressive this year. Right, anyway, we do have more questions somewhere in here. Where is this one? Da-da-da.
No, John, I will not go out with you.
Damn.
I need someone younger than me to tell me what the songs are that are playing in the nightclub.
You go to nightclubs?
I used to, probably. Is that what it's still called? I've got no idea.
Discotheques.
Favourite Arsenal game you've attended in your lifetime? That's for everyone to answer. Anyone want to go first?
Bloody hell.
I know most. I know three.
I've got a lot less than you guys.
You can only pick one.
No, all right then.
Last year, Liverpool at home 4-1, and mainly because that's where the hashtag hugs for Tom comes from. when the Giroud goal went in, a large man came up and hugged me, and that's where the hugs for Tom comes from. So yeah, but it's a great game with four amazing goals. So yeah,
and it wasn't John that hugged you either.
And Emre Can got sent off, which I fucking loved. So that was
I remember that. Yeah, what was yours, Carl?
I've got two, but if I had to pick one, probably the semi-final against Wigan at Wembley, just because I just went through the emotions. 1-0 down, pissed off, Per Mertesacker scoring, then a penalty shootout, and that was crazy as well. Like, literally, look how big I am. I was in something like row 19. I ended up in like row 9, because literally I've got the footage on my phone. When I think Santi scored the winning penalty, I jumped and I took about 9 rows. I just went forward. Seriously, on my phone, like the footage on my phone, I watched the video back when I'm really pissed off, because it was a good day. And that was brilliant. Just the whole euphoria of being at Wembley, penalty shootout, you know, getting to the final. I went through every single emotion you can. Anger, joy, frustration, resentment, acceptance. You know, it was just brilliant.
John, have you got one?
Yeah, mine's a weird one because it's not that really famous a game. It was Reyes' debut against Man City. The reason why is because at that day at Highbury, I was in the away end with the Man City fans, with my girlfriend at the time, who was a Man United fan, and her dad, who was a City fan. So she was taking the piss out of me, saying, "Oh, I'll tell them all you're an Arsenal fan." And I said, "Well, don't say anything because I'll tell them you're a United fan." So I was at the away pub for the whole game with her dad, getting to know her dad, and it was the first time I met him. And he'd bought the tickets and everything. I got to see Reyes come on, make his debut. Anelka was playing for City that day as well. I think he scored a goal. It was 2-1 in the end. But it was hilarious because the City fans, the whole way to the stadium, singing, "We know we're going to lose, we can't wait," stood up the whole way through the entire game and just sung about how bad their football team was and how much they were going to get battered. And when Reyes came on, one of the blokes was standing next to him, a City fan, he obviously worked out I was Arsenal, chatting to him during the game, and he just said to me, "Oh, who's this geezer who's coming?" I said, "Oh, it's some Spanish bloke, he'd like cost, I don't know, whatever, 17 million. He went, "Oh, fucking hell, he's going to score 3, isn't he?" And they all just started clapping him. They didn't care. convinced they were going to lose everything. It was so funny. It was just a weird experience being with the away fans, but them just like accepting, just going, "Nah, we're going to lose. It's fine. We'll just get on with it." I've had some bad ones. I had a really bad one against Derby. I remember it was 0-0 and Bergkamp had a goal disallowed. That was fucking awful. That was the boring game you watched.
I've had a couple at Stoke as well. I remember like a couple of seasons ago, me in a bright yellow kit. Oh god, it was such a bad day. It was the day that Shawcross got the penalty, I think it was. Somebody, I can't remember who it was, they had a handball against us and they scored from a penalty. It's only a couple of seasons back. Last season of the night kit, I think it was. Oh god, we were terrible. Anyway, enough said on that one. And mine is, there are so many, I must admit, but the one that comes to mind immediately, 25th of April 2004, Spurs away, winning the league at White Hart Lane. It's the last time I went to White Hart Lane. Seems a long, long time ago, but that whole day, there was something about that whole experience. And much like Carl's as well, being 2-0 up and just completely mocking those twats for the whole game. And then of course them getting back and they equalise with a Jamie Redknapp penalty in the last minute, you might remember, when Mad Jens kind of killed him on the line. And I remember like when the final whistle went, all the players just sort of celebrated and started jumping around, and Jens had gone. he went down the tunnel because he was so pissed off that he conceded a penalty. And I think, I can't remember who it was, I think it might have been Thierry, had to go and get him back out on the pitch to celebrate.
He thought they had won the title there.
Yeah, he didn't realise that we'd won it, and he had to get him back out on the pitch. And all of our schooners like stayed together to celebrate. And Ashley Cole, before he turned into a money grabbing sod, put the trophy in the centre circle and the little blow up trophy. And it was just a wonderful day. I've never been so scared in all my life. I did think I was going to be murdered that day, but it was just fantastic to be part of that. So that would be mine. Right. Okay. I think we're kind of nearly at the end, boys and girls. Let's just get some final thoughts, really, from you all.
Just quickly, Redtrek said Carnu's hat-trick at Stamford Bridge. Now,
oh, that was, yeah, that third goal.
Oh, the last
well.
One. The last one.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Edgar Hain goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Who I watched, Nigel Winterburn.
They had about two defenders in goal when it happened.
Frank LeBurf was on the line, if I'm not mistaken. I remember being at Stamford Bridge when Nigel Winterburn smashed one in past, I think it was De Hoy, at that last minute. Weldy from 25 yards. Don't remember that far back.
Silvino as well. Remember his?
Yes, Silvino. Yeah, an angle in at the near post. Yeah, superb. Anyway, just want to get your guys' thoughts just before we leave our listeners. Then, just on where you think we will finish. We do this every week. So, Carl, I'll start with you. Do you see us finishing third? Do you see it fourth, or do you see it being a bit worse?
I think we'll get fourth, because I think Man City will take the eye off the sort of ball for the Champions League, and I think they will slip up.
So you think we'll get third then, not fourth?
Yeah, did I say fourth? Third.
You said fourth.
Okay, third. We will definitely finish third.
John?
Sorry, I'm going to say fourth.
Nothing to be sorry about. What's your opinion, mate?
I think... Well, it'll be one of either two things. We'll either get battered by City and embarrassed, or we'll hammer them like 3-0 and play really, really well and cock up all the games that are easy. I know it's just going to be one or the other. And the other good thing is, as well, obviously, if I think that's going to happen and we finish third, then I can at least be a little bit happy. Because I've exceeded my own expectations.
Well, Daniel Cronin thinks we're getting relegated, so...
That's where you are in trouble if that happens. Where do you think, Tom?
Third, yeah. I really want to say second. I just can't see it happening, but yeah, third.
Mate, I'm the eternal optimist, as you know, and I want to call second. But even I can accept that I think third as well. And I think the only reason we'll finish third is I think City will have their priorities elsewhere.
Yeah. Chris, we're still hoping for Leicester to drop off, so you know there is always that.
Well, if Leicester and Spurs both lose all their games and we win our last four, we do win the title, so it's still on. It's still
sorted.
On. Don't put any money on it, boys and girls. I agree. I think third. Okay, well we'll wrap it up there then. Thank you to everyone who's joined us. All your opinions are always welcome. We appreciate it. Some love us, some hate us. One gentleman in particular is not a fan of mine, which is absolutely fine because, my friend, the feeling is very mutual. But we really appreciate everyone.
Chris, everyone loves me.
Well, yeah. Who couldn't love you, John? I mean, Christ, legend. But yes, thank you very much for joining us. Just before we leave, I would like to give an on-air nod, if you will, to Danny and to Gimli. For those of you that follow our podcast, it was the 150th episode yesterday, which Tom very well represented the radio show as a part of. And without Danny and Gimli, none of us would have this medium. And I don't want it to sound like an Oscar speech, but they both do an awful lot of work to make this this podcast possible, and indeed give us a platform to spout our nonsense. So a little nod to Danny and a little nod to Gimli. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and very well done on your achievements. So, yes, that is it. On
Charming.
Sunday...
Danny's welling up whilst watching Chatterbait.
I wonder what he's doing with the tears.
He's using his tears as lube. Yeah, I was ahead of you there, Tom. Either that or greasing his wheels, one of the two. We will be back on Sunday. Carl, you'll be sticking around with me. John is off destroying people somewhere. Tom... Tom is...
I'll be drinking somewhere.
Tom will be drinking somewhere and signing his new contract for 10 years. But yeah, Carl, you're back with me. And apparently it's American going to be joining us on Sunday. So bring on the American. But if you haven't already, check out the live podcast from last night. And have a read of our latest blogs and bits and bobs. And yeah, keep it Arsenal. Give us a little thumbs up down here if you like us. Leave us a nice comment if you like us. If you don't, then fair enough. But we appreciate you joining us, and we'll speak to you very soon. Keep Arsenal, keep MW, and have a very pleasant evening, everybody. Ciao, Al.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Covers me.